Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Well, hello and welcome to the Last Days podcast. This is Todd and Katie coming to you from beautiful Johnson City, Tennessee.
Sounding like an official radio announcer.
The radio personality TV. Coming yes. to you right now. Yeah, we're really glad that you're here. And you have picked us up here on this podcast. And yes. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you so much. And just, we are believing for just great things for you, and that even as you're listening, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and that you just have a great download of just wisdom and a real spirit of understanding. And we will look forward to hearing just some great testimonies from you guys, what God is doing. And we always love hearing that, just and I don't mean just for because you listen to our podcast and you receive something. I don't mean that. But just, you know, it's awesome to just rejoice with members of the body of Christ and what the Lord is doing in them. This is such an exciting day to be alive. And I mean, it's clearly the day of the church and everything that the Lord is doing in the ways using people. And it just never ceases to amaze me how, you know, unique everyone is, and the giftings and callings are that way, given from the Lord. And so, of course, he uses each one of us, and we have some similarities, maybe the ways that he uses us, but definitely some very, you know, different and unique ways that the Lord uses us and works his plan through each one of us. And so it's super cool to hear how the Lord is using other people. So I love
absolutely.
That.
Thanks for sharing those things with us. That it's an encouragement to us.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is. When we hear from people and we know what you're doing, that's the greatest thing to us. Yeah. We love to
how
hear
God's
that.
God's using you out there in the marketplace or whatever, you know, realm of business that he's called you to, or in mm-hmm. the ministry, or you might be at a place where you haven't fully stepped into that. Maybe you're working for somebody else, or you are a student, or many different, you know, things that, you know, people find themselves doing. But it's just, you know, God intends to use you exactly right now where you're at. He's not waiting to use you, but he wants to use you right now today. And he's already given you a sphere of influence. And of course, that will grow and that will increase, and he will multiply you, and you will expand, and you will see all of those things and happening in your life. We just have to, you know, grab hold of what's been entrusted to us today and just use that and multiply that. Because that's, of course, what God does. He doesn't, you know, just add, he multiplies.
Absolutely. You got to look at where you are right now and see how far on the path to the plan of God have I advanced?
Yes, that's it. That is a great question.
How far on the path that God has for my life have I advanced? Have you stalled out? Have you even gotten started? We were just talking before we started the podcast. You know, we know some people in their 60s that really have not even gotten started with the plan of God for their life. It's not that they're not valuable people. They're amazing
right,
people, absolutely
right.
phenomenal people. And they have so much potential, but they've never really started off in the plan that God has for their life. It's all been, let's try this. Let's do a little bit of this. They kind of stuttered and puttered and, you know, and got
bumble,
around.
Bumble, fumble,
like,
stumble, as my
that's
dad
what your
would
dad
say.
Says.
And there's
yeah.
always three rhyming words. And that particular one is bumble, no, fumble, stumble. Yeah.
Bumble, fumble, stumble.
Yes, around, yes.
And so we hope you are not the bumbler, fumbler, and stumbler, but that you are actively pursuing the plan that God has for your life.
Yes.
That's so important.
Yeah.
I think the past three podcasts, we've been mainly talking to, well, it's been targeted or intended to be for like singles.
We're not afraid of targeting. We just targeted you singles.
It was for you because actually some people had contacted us and said, when are you going to do something that is particularly for singles?
Yes.
Okay. And so, so you singlers and minglers, we wanted to do that. And so we did that and we've got a little feedback from that and everything.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear some more.
We actually super enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We may give us a few topics and we'll do some more things.
Throw some topics at us and we would love that.
Yeah.
But we were talking about why I'm single and don't want to be and some things that need to change. Mm-hmm. And so then we got some feedback a little bit and just talking with different ones. And so we're going to kind of go into a bit of something that it's not necessarily for singles, but it definitely could be.
Right.
Because we're gonna take a step back in time here and we're gonna answer the question, what would I do differently if I was 25 again? Because we're both 27 and
plus a few years.
Plus. But you know, I'm going back. I remember being 25.
My spirit feels 25.
I remember 25.
Oh, I definitely remember 25.
It was yesterday. And you know, and sometimes
25 is a great age.
25 is a wonderful age.
But I so wish at 25 I knew what I know now. That's why we're gonna help now. So you got to share this, like, especially to, you know, some younger ones.
This will be incredibly valuable.
It would be very, very helpful. If I wish that somebody would have spoken this plainly to me and just when I was 25 and just laid it out like dot, dot, dot. Like, we're gonna do that because. You know how it is in life. If you have learned things, and let me just encourage the older ones that are listening, or shall I say the wiser ones? So whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you should never consider yourself old, you know, or anything. Your spirit is definitely old. It doesn't age like that. So anyway, you just let the spirit, you know, overcome every other what you view as a hang up in your life.
Amen.
A hindrance.
Not that you have any hang ups or hindrances ever.
Which I kind of forgot where I was going with all that.
Oh.
But anyway, just encourage actually those of you that have learned different things in life to share that with the younger ones. And you know what we've discovered is that younger ones, they don't, because they've not been where you've been and walked where you've walked, learned what you've learned, they don't even know the questions to ask you or necessarily to even, you know, they could say to you, hey, tell me everything you know. And that would just be like so overwhelming to you. Like, okay, well, what do you want to know? Like, where do you start? Well, I mean, again, it's actually is great for the older ones to teach the youngers and to make a point of doing that. Sometimes when people get to be a little bit older, whatever, they're like, okay, I'm kind of like half checking out of life. Like I'm retired. I'm just kind of like doing my own thing here and enjoying all life or whatever. But actually, as you give wisdom to others and you give life and you pour into younger ones, you actually receive that back. Because of course, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So if you're sowing wisdom and you're sowing life and you're sowing help, you're going to reap that. And that's exactly what you need. We each of us need to be sowing life. And the life of God that's on the inside of us, we need to give that away to other people. And of course, that comes in many forms, the most important being sharing salvation, right? But I mean, whether it's like spiritual truth like that or natural truths and wisdom, which of course, you know, they need to line up with the Word of God. I'm not saying go outside of that. Absolutely not. But you actually, there's nothing truly greater than being able to give and to sow. So I just will put that in there, just to encourage you to the ones of you that have learned and you've experienced things. And honestly, sometimes the most valuable things are, don't do this. I failed in this area, or this set me back in this area or whatever, you know, don't go that direction. And this is why, you know, I mean, that's, as I tell people, if you're seeking direction, no is as much of direction as yeses, right? And mm-hmm. and you have to have both of those. Those actually help you greatly. And of course, if we are wise, we will actually learn from other people's mistakes and not repeat those ourselves, right? And so actually, even if we should, you know, have great successes in our life that we can, you know, tell and show people how to walk in that. But don't be afraid to be able to say, okay, well, you know, I missed it in this way, or it took me a long time to learn this, which is, you know, a lot of actually what we're sharing today is like the things that we have learned and stuff. Again, I wish that at 20 or 25, you know, someone would have said, you know, here's like kind of a checklist in a way, or do this, 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 and this. This is what you need to focus on. Because again, sometimes when ones are younger, it's what's the direction that I need to be going in life?
Yeah, a lot of them don't know.
What do I need to focus on? What should the majority of my effort go towards? Instead of there's kind of like two different types of modes of operation, so to speak, in life. There's the people who just like let life direct everything, just let hit them and bounce them around and whatever. And then there's the one who is actually intentional from the very moment that they wake up about their day and about their life. And actually they're the ones who you see overcome and have great success, because they're not going to just be at the mercy of life circumstances and what throws them or whatever, but they've learned how to grab hold of the word of God and declare it and really make their way prosperous, even as the Lord told Joshua, it's up to you. You're going to do this. You're going to, and this will cause you to actually deal wisely and have great success.
Amen.
In Joshua 1:8 is what I'm referring to.
Yeah, totally so. And, you know, I was having a breakfast with several of the men in our church back last week. And it just came up. It was just in conversation, but I was talking to them, and some of them are not old, but more experienced. And I, you know, the Word of God talks about how, you know, we have many that we don't have, and excuse me, we do not have enough fathers. And then I was also sharing this on yesterday, because I do a mentorship Zoom call with ministers on every other week on a Tuesday, and so I was bringing this up also. And if you're a minister and you're interested in, you know, participating in this full-time ministry, and you're interested in being a part of this, you can let me know.
And it's open to men and women.
Yes, right? It is. Yeah, okay. Open to men and women. And so you can be a part of this. It's an open forum. We ask questions. It's just about an hour in length. And so, but this is very helpful. And I've spent a lot of time every week in imparting into ministers' lives all over the place. And so this helps me to be more effective in some of my communications, and intentional with direction and things like that. And so if you're interested in that, yeah, with time, time's a very valuable asset that I, you know, it seems like you never have enough, but I want to be a good steward of my time. And so if you're interested in that, you can contact me. It's by invitation only. I send you an invitation link, so you can be a part of that Zoom call. And so you could be a part of that network if you are interested. And it's growing, so, you know, just let me know. But anyway, talking about fathers, and the thing about a father is that if you're a good father, you are going to see a direction your son is going in, and you're going to make a decision then, okay, this is how I need to get involved. I need to admonish. I need to warn. I need to give advice. I need to help. I need to train. What do I need to do? Because I see this before me, and my son doesn't know all the ropes. They don't have all the information. They don't know everything, you know, about what goes into making the wisest choice here with this that they're involved in right now. And so I want to help. And so they don't just see somebody floundering around and go like, well, too bad. And that's in the church. You have a lot of people that have some great experience, but right. They see young men or older experienced women see young women who are going in the wrong direction. They're just like, well, that's not my kid. And, but you have to understand that we are the body of Christ and we work together. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I go up and I see some other, man in the church. I see his son and saying, hey, you know, I need to help you because your dad's not doing a very good job. No, that's not what I mean, but I'm just talking about areas that you have experience in and you know that, hey, I could be a help and there's nobody else that is able to impart in this area, that has wisdom. You know, and so, you know, maybe I can say, hey, if you want some advice, I'd like to help you out. Because the young men, young women who are coming up, and I'm not talking about like, you know, 12, 13 year olds. I'm talking about, you know, they're you know, young adults here, and they don't know all of the experience that seasoned people have. And so they don't know to even that they can come to you and ask for your advice because they don't know all of the wisdom that you have. In fact, your own kids don't even know all of the wisdom that you have. But it should be that you should be a treasure of wisdom. And don't be afraid to open the treasure box up and say, hey, you know, I'm happy to help out. That's what a father does. Mm-hmm. And so we need those father figures. We need those mother figures to step up in this generation that is really, taking the reins right now and say, hey, you know, I have godly influence. I have Holy Ghost influence. I have pure experience influence that could really help things. Don't sit back, okay? God's given you a lot, and he doesn't give things to you, talents and gifts and wisdom, for them to sit by the wayside.
Right.
So, I mean, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, also one of the richest. So you see that he asked for wisdom.
Yes.
Why? Because that's the principal thing. That is what is needed so much. So you could have all of the wealth, but if you don't have wisdom, you'll lose your wealth. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for us to be able to understand that, you know, those that are coming up here, they need wisdom. They really, really need wisdom in a big way. And so I want us to understand that as we're talking about this, what would I do differently if I was 25 again? Well, let's imagine, you know, if you had the wisdom right now that if you had the wisdom when you were 25 that you have right now, how would you do things differently? Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Right.
And I'm sorry if you hear some buzzing behind me. It's our wonderful lawn care, and we weren't expecting this,
yeah.
But praise God.
I was just thinking, as you mentioned, Solomon, I mean, there is, I don't know exactly where it is. I didn't look it up. I just thought about it. But even when it was time to build the temple, I believe Solomon even reached out to, you know, one of King David's friends, one of the other kings, I believe that it was, and was asking him for help and asking him for wisdom in building that and everything. And I don't know if you remember that or what it is, but anyway, so the importance of again that actually and we weren't necessarily intending to go this way, but this is like such a key thing that for all of us to realize that. You know, unfortunately, modern day society kind of goes against like, okay, well, basically after you're, you know, 50 years old or 55 or whatever it is, okay, it's time to shut it down in life, you know, and basically like disregard anybody that is beyond that. And that is such actually a tragedy to go that way, because really they even talk about how some of the most effective times in your life, I mean, the most impactful and effective time in your life is not really actually until you reach like age 70. And so it's crazy to think that it's either 60 or 70. I can't remember which one, because one is number one and then the other time period is number two. But anyway, to be able to impart the wisdom and the understanding. And then, of course, younger ones, of course, bring such great new ideas and life and vitality and everything. So each person, and whether no matter the age is what I'm getting at, is vitally important, actually, within the body of Christ and for each one of us in our lives. Like, it shouldn't be that in your life that you can only be around and communicate with people that are the exact same age as you. You're actually missing out on so much. And very so true. It's important that actually, and especially I believe that in the church, you know, that really we embrace and we celebrate all ages and everything, because each person brings something special and something that is vital and that is needed. So sometimes, you know, just talking about things that we wish that we would have known when we were 25 and that we would have done, you know, differently, or is that even seeking out wisdom and experience and help from those that, you know, were, you know, significantly, you know, older than we were.
Absolutely. But a lot of times when you're, you know, when you're younger, you don't have all of the wisdom yet in you. But I believe when God has a plan for your life, and let me just say this, God has a plan for everyone's life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not just for those in ministry, but when God has a plan for your life, you're going to find out that if you will reach out, around you is the wisdom you need. Okay? Now, I'm not talking if you're, you know, you're running drugs and, you know, moonshine in the hills of Tennessee, that those that are just around you are going to be the wisest, okay? Because if you want God's plan, you're going to have to be around people that have godly counsel.
Right.
All right? Now, if you want the wisdom of the world, you know, you can go talk to Joey and Luigi and, you know, some of these other guys who air-condition kneecaps for a living. But if you want the wisdom of God for your life, then you can follow his plan, but you'll find that around you, God will put those that if you ask, you can receive.
Right.
Ask is one of the principles of the kingdom of God. Ask and you'll receive. And you have not, the Bible says, because you ask not. Mm-hmm. If you don't ask God for wisdom, you may not get the wisdom. But he says to not just, you know, hope you get wisdom. He says, ask for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so actually, and he had to tell us to ask for wisdom. Why? Because most people don't naturally
do that.
Yeah, but we just, I'll figure it out myself.
I just do it myself.
Yeah, but we have to, and so God told us to ask for wisdom because we're not actually intelligent enough to ask for wisdom. Sheep don't go to the shepherd and say, hey, can you lead me? The shepherd has to say, come over here. Come over here, you little fluffy one. Get over here in line, because that's not the direction. That's the direction to the wolf's house. And yeah, so
they need lots of boundaries.
They need a lot of boundaries. I mean, they don't know that they need
good
them.
For us to remember.
So if we were 25 again, mm-hmm. All right, babe, you started off.
All right, number one.
What would
one.
You do differently?
Yes.
Numero
number
uno,
one,
if you're
for
listening
sure, for sure, for
and you're
sure.
Hispanic.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you're going to get besides burrito and taco from me.
That sounds good right now.
That's good. Let's go to lunch.
Okay. So number one would be find out exactly what God's plan is for my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And maybe, hopefully, if you're 25, you already know that. In some sense, I would actually, you know, hope that you would really have a great understanding by the time that you leave your parents' house, which when I say leave your parents' house, I'm not talking about much later in life. I'm actually thinking of more the the traditional thing of like when you're about 18 and you finish, you know, high school and you're heading to college, or you're, you know, stepping into what God has called you to do, you're going to Bible college, whatever it is. So I'm you know, referring to is that you know, we see many people in life, unfortunately, you know, they could be like 60, 70 years old, and they actually still cannot even verbalize to you what God has called them to do. And
very
I think
true.
An error, a lot of people think that, okay, if God only has a call or a plan for those in full-time ministry, like, oh yes, they know they're called to be a preacher or whatever. There's actually, this is crazy to me, but there's actually a lot of people in ministry, they don't even themselves know what God really has called them to do.
They couldn't even write it down, probably.
Right. I mean, it's just like, oh, well, I'm going to be a preacher or whatever, but they actually,
what's that mean?
Yeah. What are you specifically even supposed to,
what's the path?
So God actually has a very specific plan for each and every person that, you know, that he has created, which is of course all of us. And so it's not just for people that, you know, he has planned for them to have their own business or to be in ministry or to be president or whatever. No, it's actually, he has a perfect, wonderful, amazing plan for each and every person. And then, of course, that's it. He's put these giftings in us. Our gift back to him is what we do with what he has given us. It's in raw form. Okay. So it's up to us, obviously, to be able to develop and yield to him and allow those things to come forward. And of course, he's given us the great Holy Spirit, who is such an amazing, the greatest teacher ever and greatest helper ever, that comes alongside and helps us to be able to do all those things. So I'm not talking about you got to do everything in the flesh. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But understanding that we should, and if you are a parent, and you, that means you obviously you have kids, and I'm talking about specifically the ones that are still raising them, put in them as early as possible what, you know, first of all, teach them how to hear from the Lord. Teach yeah. them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside, and really just pray and stand with them and encourage them in what God has called them to do. Okay, because that's something that really, you know, again, before you even leave your parents' household, you should already, you may not know all of the things that you're going to do. Of course, I mean, each one of us, we
don't know
everything that we're going to, you have to know a lot, but you need to know really what God has called you to do. Otherwise, you're going to go.
Don't leave home without it.
Yeah, right. You go, and it's just, you know, unfortunately, we really actually lose so many, you know, young people to the ways of the world, because again, they're just like, well, I don't know, society or everybody tells me, you know, the only way I can succeed in life is if I go to college. And they go off to college, they don't even know what they want to study. They don't know what they want to do, and waste, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes on, you know, education, or, you know, they go and they, you know, experience failure, get around totally the wrong people, all this indoctrination, everything. And it just really like screws them up many times.
Yeah.
And definitely they lose their faith in God.
Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, I admire how he has, and this is the first time I'd ever heard it, but I remember it's when we were down there, he would tell people, listen, if you don't know what direction you're going, don't just run off to college or something like that. Take a year and come to Bible college first.
Right, yeah.
Just spend a year in Bible college and get the mind of Christ.
Right.
Get the wisdom of God in you so that you know the direction that your life should go. I mean, because you will, like you said, you'll waste so much time. And mm-hmm. and we encourage people to do that exact same thing. Why?
Right.
Because that's wisdom.
It okay? is wisdom.
I mean, surround yourself
and
with the
also...
wisdom of God. He's the one who should be directing your life, not the educators in the universities and things like that. I mean, wow, that'll get you way, way off track in life.
Right. And it's also just even a great way to actually consecrate that first year of your life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're stepping out, you fulfilled, you know, the requirements of high school and all of that. And it's really your first chance of like, okay, I get to now have a little bit of input in what direction that I'm going in.
For sure. And so you need to find out, okay, this is the direction that I should be pursuing in my life. And not, like my wife said, you don't have to know all the details, but you should know, okay, this is where I'm headed. And, you know, I will say this, that I went, when I surrendered to the call when I was 23 years old. Should have done it earlier, but I fought against what God wanted. I had my own plans. I wanted to just be successful in business. I was good at making money. By the time I was 23, I was making quite a bit of money. And but I had to surrender to the call of God. And God knew this is the direction that you need to follow. And I wanted God in my life. I just didn't want to go into ministry because I had my parents in ministry full time. My two older brothers were full time in ministry. I was aware of challenges that they had, things that they dealt with, and I was like, I'm not interested in getting involved in any of that. I want to be a blessing. I want to help, and so I just want to go into business, and I want to help fund ministry, and be able to. And I had a heart for missions in a big way, and I was like, I would love to just give to cause the gospel to be able to spread throughout the world. And basically, if I could just be a Holy Ghost philanthropist, I would love to be able to do that. But God had his plan, and actually, you know, I'm able to work with business people, and so working together in the way that God wants, what God wants to have done is the plan that is going to work best for your life. Mm-hmm. And you have to surrender to his plan, not just have your own thing and say, I'm going to push my way in this area. Oh, and, geez, and yeah. You know, no matter what, I had an uncle that passed away many years ago, and he was just very close to dying, and I was a boy, and I remember visiting him in his home as he's lying on a couch and no strength to do anything anymore. He'd been very successful in business, a millionaire. Did great things, but he had a call. I found out as he was laying on that couch there, I found out that he had a call from God on his life to be a minister, and he fought it and ran away from it. And, as he was laying on the couch, and he was telling me, you know, I'm dying of cancer here. And I was like, well, you know, God will heal you. I knew that because I'd heard that. And I was a young boy. I didn't know a lot about healing at that time and everything like that, but I knew my parents were ministers, and that, you know, if someone was dying of disease, you know, we're going to pray the prayer of faith, lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, and the Bible says, you know, God would raise them up. And I said, you know, we can pray for you. And he says, I don't have faith to believe that God would heal me because I've disobeyed him, and I will not ask for him to heal me because I'm not worthy of that. Wow. And he said, I see on you the same thing that I know I've had in me all my life, and God calling me to preach. And I didn't take that to heart or anything at that time, but I was just listening to him. But he said, I fought against that, and I went into business. I didn't want to do that. Was a successful businessman. I was thinking, wow, well, think of the success he could have been if that was the will of God for his life. Right. And he did all that in the flesh, and he was still a millionaire. And he said, I even intentionally married a woman that I knew hated the ministry and would never allow me to go into ministry. And and so that was my aunt. And you know, she was nice to, you know, to myself and my family and everything like that, but she absolutely pulled him in the opposite direction from anything that was of God. And you see that reflected in their children now. Mm. And that's one of their children who tried to block me in going to minister in the nations. Mm-hmm. And And so, and if you happen to be listening to this, I love you. I'm not even going to name your name though. So, but the thing is this, is that God has a plan for your life, and you may be aware of that plan before you're even 25, and hopefully you do. You are mm-hmm, aware, mm-hmm. And you need to seek God. If you are in high school, start asking God right now, Lord, yes. What is your plan? Yes. Maybe you're in junior high and listening to this. I have my doubts, but you never know. But you know, I do know that there are some who are younger than college age that might be listening to this. And so ask God, Lord, what is your plan for my life? Lord, I want to know. I want to know now, because I want to start off in the right direction. I don't want to find out finally when I'm in my 30s, you know, hey, this was God's plan for your life right. All along.
Right.
The prophets of old, they were aware when they were young, this is the plan that God has for your life. In fact, they looked at themselves as you know, who's going to listen to me?
Right.
I mean, that's why God would say, despise not your youth.
Yeah.
I've called you. Mm-hmm. Speak. Mm-hmm. Just open your mouth and speak. Now, I will tell you that as a young person, there's a price to pay. Because, yes, people will look at you. They will overlook you because mm-hmm. of your youth. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that you have any right to back down and not say what you know. I know for sure this is what God is speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Will you get persecution? Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you'll get persecution, but God's leading you, and you're not above your master. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of young men and young women, they may think, well, I shouldn't probably get persecution until I'm in my 40s or 50s at least.
Goodness.
No, you can get it as a child if you'll obey. We have children in our church here that are being raised up that they hear the voice of God and they speak for God even. I want to tell
Absolutely.
You, they've got some powerful voices and they're not backing down. They're just speaking it out. I know of one of the young girls in our church, just a precious little girl. Her name is Faith, but I mean, her parents take her to the nations because they do missions work, and they'll give her the microphone and she'll begin to speak the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And lay hands on people, allow that anointing to flow out of her, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders take place. And how old is she? Like 8 years old or
yes.
something like that?
Yeah. They'll send us video clips of her praying for us. And man, she just goes for it, prays a prayer of faith. And I mean, it's just really awesome.
You feel it.
I mean,
when
she challenges
connects.
Adults in their faith and everything. And yeah. actually, we have a number of kids who, you know, their parents, even if they, you know, will voice out things like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, these bills are piling up, or you know, well, I don't know if we can afford that. They'll correct them and you know challenge them, which is great. That's actually what you want. You know, you need everybody in your household needs to. You need the strength of all of that. So,
amen.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. What we're seeing raised up here at the River of Tri-Cities Church.
Yeah, right?
we got the young apostles and prophets and prophetesses yes. and evangelists and pastors and teachers and businessmen and businesswomen and leaders, influencers, government officials. They're all being raised up here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Children don't have the beautiful thing is, and I think the wonderful thing again about is you knowing early what God has called you to do is that in your natural thinking, a lot of times doesn't exist so much of the like, well, the impossibilities, or I can't do that, or I don't have enough energy, or you know, I mean, all the different dumb excuses that older people, and when I say older, I'm talking about anybody, you know, from you know, late 20s on or whatever, that you know, give these you know, excuses, or you know, people will go, they won't seek God, and that's really what it comes down to, is you got to set apart the time to seek the Lord and get from him. He's the only one that knows what he has called you to do. And let me say, I mean, you can have other, you know, maybe a minister or your pastor or whatever might confirm something or whatever, but understand God, the creator, is the one who knows the creation the best, right? And he has all the answers. You got to get the plan from him so that you never question it, because there will be other people that'll come on and go, oh yeah, I know I don't see you doing that, or you're not called to that, or you should go do something else. I mean, there's always going to be people like that, right? And actually, it's a test. It's really just a test of, you're going to follow God, you're going to seek him and do what he's called you to, or somebody else because they think it's a great, they have a great idea of what you should be doing. No, the plan needs to come from God, and you need to get it early. Get it as early as you can, because then after you know what God has called you to do, then you can start being trained for that. You can start seeking out people in that specific area that are successful. Don't seek out people that are going to tell you all the challenges and why it's not going to work for you. And you need to, well, maybe if you came from this family, or maybe if you lived in this place, or maybe if you had this personality. No, not that. You're going to seek out people that actually can help you. And the awesome thing, just like you mentioned earlier, babe, is that the Lord has actually provided those people already for you. Your eyes need to be open to that. And you just say, okay, Lord, you always have Holy Ghost connections. And when the Lord, maybe you've heard my husband say this because he says this often, but whenever the Lord has something new for you, he's going to actually introduce you to somebody else. And so you're going to, you know, grow through it. The same thing happens. So don't just be content to like a casual seeking of the Lord. Okay, well, Lord, you know, whatever you've called me to, I guess someday you'll make that known to me. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about setting aside the time. And that probably is going to require you, you know, doing a fasting, definitely praying more, definitely like, really like, Lord, I need the plan from you. I need you to show me, what have you put me on earth here to accomplish for your kingdom? How is my life supposed to be used to build the kingdom of God?
100%. Exactly. Find out. This is where I'm headed in life.
The specifics. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And push in, press in for as much as you can. And as you're heading in the direction that God would have for you to go, more will be continually revealed.
Yes.
All right. But you have to seek God. You have to do that. And I think you might have mentioned this already. I know you did. Stop worrying about what people think.
Right.
Okay.
Is this number
two? You can't. Yeah. The second thing here. Don't worry about what people think. Because you're going to have people who like what you do, and you'll have people who disagree with the direction you're going in life. And you'll have those challenge you. Let me speak this to parents, though, that might be listening to this. You got to find out what the direction is that your child should be going in, and help them go in that direction.
Absolutely.
Don't discourage them, but help them in achieving the goals that God has for their life. Don't just push them in some direction and everything like that. Maybe it's your desire for your child to be a professional baseball player, right? Okay,
or because you didn't get to do that,
yeah. And don't try to push them in a direction because of your ambitions,
right?
All right, yeah. Find out the plan of God for their life. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have your kids involved in sports and stuff like that. We encouraged our kids, but I wasn't looking at them and going like, no, come on, you're going to be a pro bowler. And so not a bowler like, you know, that rolls balls down.
Oh, I thought
thing.
That's what you meant. Bowling.
Like you are a pro bowl. You're going to be in the pro bowl. You're that good in football.
The percentage of those that even go on to be college athletes is so small. And let me just say that is like a whole super challenging environment to
know,
and not the best morally, ethically, yeah, all of those kind of things. And, you know, a lot of times parents, for whatever reason with sports, I guess it's kind of a god in our nation.
It is a god,
you know,
in
there's
our
a
nation.
Lot of great things I feel like our boys have learned from being involved with team sports. And, of course, mm-hmm, it's great to just have them, kids, develop early on just a very active lifestyle. It is very awesome. And it helps them in a lot of ways.
How to work
socially,
with other
it helps them greatly.
And adults, and how to respect coaches.
Yes,
and
how to respect coaches. How
authority.
To, yeah. And all of the and to work hard, and to all of those things are super beneficial. We very much encourage that. And if you're raising boys, they need to be like busy doing things and being active, being outside, being boys. And girls too, obviously. I mean, I grew up, did all different kinds of sports because that's just what the family did. And there's so much benefit from that. I highly encourage that. Today, mm-hmm. it's like if parents don't have their kids involved in, you know, sports, volunteer activities, even, you know, different types of, you know, whether it's musical things, whatever their giftings and whatever they're geared towards, their interest and stuff like that, then it's like the kids inevitably, they're just like at home on some type of screen for hours and hours. Terrible for them. Just absolutely terrible for anybody, actually.
Yeah.
Not healthy for your brain at all. But anyway, so it's not that we discourage that.
You might be a 40-year-old and that's your hang up.
Oh, I know.
I'm serious.
That is super pathetic.
Because, and especially with guys, because guys have addictive behaviors. And if you start getting addicted to something when you're 20 years old or before then, because a lot of kids, they're addicted to screens from the time they're 2 years old.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
And because parents don't know how to parent, and so they just stick something in the kids' hands. And instead of encouraging them to draw or color or go outside and play or be creative or, you know, learn to do something else, they just stick something that numbs their mind. It keeps them quiet. And actually, that's a part of the problem in America.
Yeah, emotionally, and they're totally screwed up.
They don't know how to talk with people.
They don't know how to interact with people socially. They don't know how to handle a disagreement, stressful. I mean, nowadays you go to the, which is a little bit off topic here, but you go like to, if you pay cash somewhere, which it's like that's an oddity these days sometimes, the person, you know, they're like 16 years old, and they literally don't know how to even count change back to you. Like if the register doesn't tell them, they're just sitting there like figuring out like, half the time as a customer, you got to
mind melt.
You'd be like,
just give me those 250s there after I gave you the 10, but just give me those 250s and like, we'll just call it even.
Okay. Anyway, so again, not saying that like sports
are make a lot of money these days, just doing that, just buying things. I made money buying this stuff here today. No, I'm just kidding.
So bad,
I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's not right.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riverofTriCities.com. That's riverofTriCities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.